The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
We got a quick flip and a pivot. The Fed's in focus. Stagflation alert. Inflation remains sticky and unemployment. Wow. ADP shows massive losses in one particular category. And we're looking into the prediction markets with our guest, Andrew Wilkinson, Director of Trading and Education at Interactive Brokers. All this and much more on episode number 950 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Hey, 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 ho, 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 it's the holiday season, and it's going to be a very short month. I got to tell you, there's some things happening, we'll go through it, and why I think that we really need to be ready and not lag, because while it is the beginning of December, the fact of the matter is we got a few things coming up in the next few weeks that is actually going to shorten it down pretty well. By way of introduction, I'm Andrew Horowitz, your host of this fine podcast, where we are all about the discipline. I'm also the co-host of DH Unplugged, where myself and John C. Dvorak get together each and every week on Tuesday nights. Yeah, Tuesday nights, we're live, and we talk about all sorts of things ranging from the news to what's happening in specific investments, where things are going, recipes, crazy discussion, but really, I would say, informative. So make sure that you definitely subscribe to that, whether it's on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. The list goes on and on. Wherever you get your podcast, you can get The Disciplined Investor and DH Unplugged. So, discipline. We're talking about discipline. And the discipline that we're talking about and what we do here is all about learning. It's about acting. It's about doing. It's making sure that we are going to have a very secure future. This is what it's not about the fluff. It's not about getting rich quick. While we're all about getting rich, I'm all for that, right? It's a disciplined approach. It's all about getting there and keeping you there, making sure that you grow and that money that you have, those investments that you've accumulated, that you've nurtured, are going to be there for you for the future, and that they're not going to necessarily have any big problems. And therein lies the differential with getting rich quick. It's also getting rich quickly. The reverse is true, I got to say, right? You got getting poor quick. Why? Because sometimes easy come, easy go. Now, listen, there are those great stocks, those options, those things that we could do and that we can set up for ourselves that make money very quickly, and we have the opportunity to make some real scratch. No problem with that. Whether it's from the crypto markets to speculative trading of stocks, have at it. But in totality, what we're going to do is make sure that we are disciplined. I have no problem with, you know, doing things in a small account that's really aggressive to put a little bit extra alpha in your portfolio. No problem with that. All your eggs in one basket? No. Nope. We're going to say no to that. Diversification? Yep, we're going to say yes to that. So the discipline, the process is what it's all about. Now, as I mentioned, this month is going to be quick. It's going to go by like quicker than you can imagine. Why? Well, in a couple of weeks coming, we have Christmas Eve. That's on a Wednesday. We're going to have partial day for the markets on that day. And then you're going to be closed the next day for Christmas. Friday, so you get the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday thing. Friday, who's working on Friday? You're off already for Wednesday or part of Wednesday into Christmas, Christmas Eve. We all get the holiday bug, whether you're in the state of Washington, down to Houston, all the way up to Maine, or down where I am in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The fact of the matter is, it's holiday time. And we take off. We spend a little less time. The fact of the matter is the setup this year is going to cause a little bit more problem for some people because people are going to work a little bit less. Same thing is the week after that. The Wednesday is going to be New Year's Eve. Then Thursday's New Year, New Year's, and that's it. Done. Kaput. Who's working Friday? Nobody. So we come back and already we're into January. And there are some things that we need to start thinking about because I want to make sure that you get to these things earlier than later. Make sure that you have plenty of room to get things done because by the end of the year, if you don't, it's all over. You can't come back and say, oh, I forgot to, you know, sell that stock for a loss and, hey, can I have a second chance into 26 and make it count for 25? No, you can't do that. So I put together a very simple list, something you want to think about to get the juices flowing about some of the things that you could do for year end to make sure that you are on the right track and you do those things to optimize your taxes, to make sure that you are, in fact, doing the things that you can do from an investment standpoint, from a planning standpoint, before the year is out. So like what are these? What are we talking about? We got required minimum distributions from IRAs. If you're at the age we need to think about this, you need to start thinking about it now. Because if you don't take out enough, if you under withdraw from your IRA and you're required to do so through RMDs, if you're age 73 or more, or potentially there are other ages that you may have had to start taking, but generally 73 or older, or there's an inherited IRA also. You could be young and inherited an IRA. You're the beneficiary of an IRA. You have a 10-year plan that you have to start taking out that money. And if you don't do so, it's a huge penalty. So you need to think about this. You need to contact your CPA. You need to look at your brokerage account. You need to find out from your investment advisor if they're doing it. We do that for our clients for the most part. We do what we're holding. We'll make sure that things are discussed and taken care of. But if your investment advisor isn't doing that, tell them, hey, you know what? Get with the program. Let's get some planning going on here. And what else? What else do we have? Well, if you have a company, if you own your own company and maybe you only have a few employees and you don't have a pension plan, maybe it's time to start thinking about setting something up like a SEP, a simplified employee pension plan. You can put lots of money on a tax-deductible basis into that, but you need to make sure to set that plan up before year end. You can contribute to it and put money in 2026 for 2025, but generally speaking, you need to make sure that you plan and get that account set up before the end of the year 2025. Before the calendar year ends, you have to set that up, and then you could fund it after the fact. Then there are tax matters, like reviewing when your portfolio needs to take some gains or losses, when it's appropriate. So what we do is we look at accounts, we do some tax loss harvesting for clients, where it's appropriate, looking for ways to pass through the losses and take gains to offset, reset the portfolio. Now, not everybody needs this. If you have only tax-sheltered accounts like IRAs and Roths and pensions and things of that nature, annuities, it doesn't matter. But if you have other accounts that maybe you have some extraneous gains and you're in a lower tax bracket, maybe taking some of those for short-term gains would make some sense to not put you into the next level. Or maybe the capital gains can be used against capital losses and vice versa. Something should be considered. And also maybe thinking about the idea of tax loss harvesting with a little bit of a twist. Like selling underperforming investments to offset gains, but also consider harvesting gains if you're a lower tax bracket this year, locking in gains at a low tax rate can be really just as powerful as offsetting losses. Something to really think about there because the whole game is not only making, but keeping. Keeping as much of your profits and your investments as you can. And if, in fact, you can take some of the gains and keep the money at a lower tax bracket, that means that you have more for yourself. And that's what we're talking about. Keeping more. Then there's things like charitable giving, particularly appreciated assets, highly appreciated assets. So instead of cash, you could donate appreciated, highly appreciated stocks, ETFs, things like that, to charities, or even donor-advised funds. And by doing so, you could basically eliminate capital gains tax because you're giving it to the charity and still get a full deduction for the fair market value of the gift that you're giving to the charity. Now, if you're charitably inclined and you have these kind of situations, this is one of the best ways to gift. You can do it also with an IRA, for example. So that's something to think about. Then you have RESPs and FHSAs. This is for education, first home savings and buyers. Contributions must be made by December 31st to capture this year's particular government match on the tax benefits or tax benefits, either and or. Even opening up an FHSA now secures $8,000 of contributions room for next year. Then you could consider something like a backdoor Roth. So high earners who exceed the Roth IRA income limits can still contribute via what's called a backdoor conversion, which is you take your traditional IRA and take the money out, you move it into a Roth IRA. There's some pro rata rules that you need to look at, but there's a lot of things that you can do before the end of the year. This is not an exhaustive list, number one, and it is not, big disclaimer, this is not tax advice. You need to talk to your CPA, you need to talk to your financial professional, but I wanted to bring up a few ideas to get those creative juices flowing. Like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Wow, wait a second, maybe I should start doing something. You're listening, you're spending your time learning, it is time to act. It's always time to act. It's always a good time to act. Sell those losers, offset some gains, reset your portfolio, rebalance your portfolio. There's a lot of things that happen towards the end of the year that get a little weird and into the beginning of the year. So there's something that I want to make sure that you are well aware of that you're working on. These are ideas. So do what you can, be disciplined, and get set. Let's get to our guest. It's Andrew Wilkinson. He's Director of Trading Education at Interactive Brokers. I have so many questions. He joined Interactive Brokers in 2007 with a background in interest rate and derivative trading in the City of London during the 1990s. He joined IBKR to create monetary and market commentary about stocks and options, Forex, bonds for the website before helping create the IBKR campus. If you haven't checked that out, that's something right there. You need to go look at it, which covers Traders Insights, Traders Academy, webinars, podcasts, and all sorts of things about financial trading for investors and traders at all levels. So let's get right to this discussion because I want to really get into how they're doing, how the industry is doing with what's gone on this year. And also, I really want to talk about some of the hot topics right now that a lot of people have been talking about, like zero-dated options, option strategies, predictive markets. That one right there is a biggie. So let's get into it. So Andrew, how are you?
Doing well, thank you, Andrew. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it's great. So I know we've talked about the various times and travels and things and all the things going on, but some of the things that are happening right here in the U.S., pretty amazing in terms of the activity. I mean, we looked at some of the reports from industries, leading brokerage houses, and in particular yours. I mean, 29% higher daily average revenue trades, or as known as DARTs, from a year ago. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is a function of what's actually happening in the market that month as well. So, you know, DARTs can fall as well as rise, but it does speak to the fact that we keep adding customers. This has been a huge trend since the beginning of COVID. And I think in November, we've added more clients to the ranks around the world. We now have 4.311 million client accounts, and that's up a third on a year ago. And they executed 4.273 million DARTs, daily average revenue trades, as you mentioned. So I'm guessing that maybe, I mean, we have more AUM 770 billion, just about. Again, that's up by a third. That's a function of markets rising. It's also a function of volatility in the marketplace. And, you know, some of the selling we saw in November would have translated into active traders really participating, which accounts potentially for why the DARTs were a little higher.
So but the point, though, is, you know, you mentioned something. You said, I thought that was interesting. When we look at the ending AUM, the assets under management, and about 35% higher than a year ago, you said it was a function of the markets. But yet, it's also a function of good investing. So it's the markets for people who are just passive. I'll go with that.
Right.
But let's give you some credit here and some props for the fact that you're, you know, director of education and of trading, understanding all that, right? So must be something going right with what you're doing to educate your clients to make sure that they're staying out of harm's way. Because even in a good market, you can get wrecked sometimes.
Yeah, we typically appeal to more professional type accounts, Andrew. So yes, the AUM, it's a function of those two things, isn't it? It's like if the market goes up, the AUM is very likely going to increase as well. But as we bring in clients, we tend to notice the AUM go up. The education journey, we're very proud of it here. We have something called the IBKR Campus. And I think of it as an umbrella covering a series of pillars. We've got about 9 different pillars, whether it's something like API user guides, our student trading lab. The main pillars involve podcasts, webinars, Traders Insight, which is market news, Traders Academy, which teaches people about asset classes, how to trade, and our user platforms. So we also partner with the outside world. We've got a lot of information there from the CME group in terms of video format. So we just try and cover as much content as we can to help keep investors on their toes. And if they don't understand outside the world of stocks, they've got no excuse, because they can go and learn all about it with some of our lessons and courses. And something I should give a big shout out for, which has just been launched in the last month, is our very innovative, interactive learning tool, which allows people to better understand options. So you can, the journey is for somebody to address the asset class, learn what a call is, learn what a put is, drag answers into a chunk of text, and then interact with the screen so that you can see the impact of choosing a particular strike, a particular expiration date, and a particular price. And as you kind of get better at that, you're gravitated towards more complex options combinations and strategies. So this is kind of a first in the world as far as we know, and we've run it past a lot of our industry partners and they're blown away by it as well. So we're very, very proud of the educational offering we have here.
So that let's just stick on that for a second. That options tool, the educational tool, is more than just a simple Black-Scholes representation of what happens if you have this call, what is your possible max loss, max gain, and scenarios. Is that what you're saying? Because we've seen those before.
Yeah, totally. This allows you to use your mouse on the screen, drag the coordinates, the strike price or the break even, to a particular point so that the understanding of options is reinforced. And you're allowed to pick a series of, you know, strangles, long calls, short puts, and test yourself until you actually understand what it is you're doing and how that P&L chart will change. We kind of get into Black-Scholes and the pricing of it somewhat. But as you said, those calculators are already out there. But this allows the user to really understand, to dive down, interact, and become a more knowledgeable trader.
I'll be honest, I haven't used this yet. Is that something where if you go through that process, you can say, okay, I pinpointed this, and then you can turn that into a trade right from there?
Because you can be logged into the campus and then go straight through to the client portal. So yeah, I guess you can.
Well, there you go. All right, let's talk about something that I may want to come back. I'm reserving the right to come back to talk about options. But I want to talk about something that it seems has become very popular. And we're seeing this crop up in a number of different places and in different ways. And there's a lot of companies that are starting to embrace this and really, I don't want to say push it, but really promote it. And that is the predictions market. So first, let's just start. I want to start from I'm asking you as the teacher in you right now, okay, to educate me as if I and our listeners have no clue what that means, the words prediction markets, and tell me what that is at the base, at the core.
Okay, so the prediction market enables you to take a view, express a view on the outcome of a question. And essentially, it's a binary question. Ultimately, the answer is either is yes or it's no. And what this boils down to is looking at the probability of that event occurring. So very shortly, the Fed's going to meet again, and they're either going to reduce interest rates or leave them alone. So the question is, will the Fed funds rate of interest as of a specific date, as if this was a contract, will it be above a certain level? So the odds on that are then calculated by buyers and sellers. Some people will have one view that the Fed will cut interest rates, and other people will have a view that they won't cut interest rates. So, you know, for a contract that might be some way off and there's a lack of information and a lack of certainty, the pricing might be 50-50, right? You know, the Fed may be done reducing rates and they may be entering a tightening cycle at some point. So I think the odds are 50-50 for June next year that this event will actually come true. So the premise is that the correct answer is paid out a dollar. So I can wage 50 cents in order to earn a dollar in the view that my view was correct. Or on the other hand, if I'd taken a 50 cent wager and the outcome turned out to be incorrect, I lose my 50 cents. So the whole point of what we're doing here in the prediction markets is to try and help investors understand better what's actually happening in the real economy as pertains to what the central bank's doing, what economic data's doing, and how that can help an investor understand whether their portfolio is are they likely to do well with their portfolio, because some of these contracts, will retail sales be above a certain level at a certain point of the year? If you're long of retail stocks, you could take the opposing view if you felt that retail sales was about to decline. So again, it's all about calculating the odds, which is done for you, and expressing that view. So your 90 cents can become a dollar, your 10 cents could become a dollar if you get that right. A really good example of this is what's going on with the nomination.
Federal
Reserve, right?
So I want to pull this up on my screen because this is over at, because everybody could, you can actually follow along without having an account. So
yes.
Go to IBKR.
All the markets are available online for people to see the current odds.
Right. So go to, I think it's IBKR.com. Let me just read my screen because I have it up. /forecast. So what's interesting, let me go there. Let me go back. Okay. So you can go to, like, for example, what are the popular ones? So the popular ones are Fed Decision, whether it's going to be, you know, no change, lower buy, higher than. There's things like futures contracts, things like that. Where is the one? I'm looking. There's a lot of these.
So probably under
government.
Government.
Yeah. So under government, that's sort of thing. Presidential nomination for Fed Chair. All right, I'm going to click that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to click that, and it says, will President Trump nominate Kevin Hassett as Fed Chair? So what's interesting about this is that just to repeat what you said, it's asking me a question and I have to say yes or no.
Right.
And if I say yes, it's going to cost me 70 cents as of right now. And if it says, if I predict, I guess is the right word, it costs me 28 cents. So if I put money on no and I invest there and I predict that's the market and I put down, round number, I'm just going to use round numbers here, $100 and the no comes to pass, essentially I'll get back three times my money, approximately three and a half times, right? Was that correct?
Yes.
So that's how it works. Basically, if I choose a yes contract, it's 70% probability that that will come true according to this metric right now. Now, what about liquidity? What happens if I choose the, let's say I choose the no contract, it's at 28 cents now. And let's just say, let's just kind of go down the path a little bit. They have a little fight because President Trump has been known to have little fights with people.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's worth, I don't know, 80 cents. Can I sell it right then?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be hopefully another customer on the other side, and it might be a penny or two different to get out. But you can see that the combination of the two premiums there, the yes plus the no, adds up to 98 cents right now. So there's 2 cents inside there that's being lost or paid away to the broker. That's how that works.
But my point is, these are liquid at any given time, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's six days a week. And I think what's interesting about this particular question, this market closes in 1,143 days. What you missed on the question there, Andrew, was will President Trump nominate Kevin Hassett as Fed chair? And the as-of date is January the 20th, 2029.
Good point. This is a weird one. Let's be honest, this is a little bit weirder than most, right?
It is. So if you the logic here is that Jerome Powell's term comes to an end in May.
Yep.
So, you know, we're going through that process right now of, President Trump making his nomination. And the word on the street is that Kevin Hassett's going to be it. Kevin Hassett then has to go through an approval process in the Senate, I think. And if he's not approved, then President Trump's got to go to the next person. Or whoever he nominates might say, well, thank you very much, but I don't want to do that. I'm really happy in my current job. So that's when we have a list of, you know, Warsh, Hassett, Waller, Bessent, other people. So, you know, should anything happen to the whoever becomes the next Fed chairman, you know, President Trump could still nominate somebody else before the end of his term on January the 20th, 2029.
Yeah, so this one is a much longer situation, a little bit of a different thing than others. For example, the one we were talking about earlier that I was mentioning, which is much more timely, we'll call it, you know, timely, is will, in fact, let me go find that again because I just had it on my screen. It was under...
Probably under financial markets.
It was whether or not the Fed is going to reduce. Let me see if I can do this. No, that's not the one. I'm looking for it. Just bear with me 1 second. I think it's economic indicators. Yeah. Here, this one. For example, this one is going to end on, I believe the 10th of, it's going to expire on the 10th. And this is, will the U.S. Fed funds target rate be set above 3.625% at the FOMC meeting ending December 10th? Okay, now we're recording this a little bit earlier than it would be on the actual day of, which is next week on Wednesday. That's next week on Wednesday. So if they, essentially, here's the response. If they cut, then the no would get the nod here.
Correct.
So this is an upside down question. So let me just read the question again. Will the U.S. Fed funds target rate be set above 3.625% at the FOMC meeting ending December 10, 2025? So this essentially says if they don't cut, that's a no. No, excuse me. It's a yes. Pardon me.
Yes.
It's a yes. I'm confusing myself. It's a yes. And if they do cut, it's a no. So basically by a quarter point. So if you are inclined to believe, and as you said, you expressed your opinion and your belief that the Fed funds, Federal Reserve will be cutting, you can buy a contract here or a prediction on this as the no.
Right. So if you think they're going to cut, the prevailing Fed funds rate is 3.875. So a cut to 3.625 means that
25 basis points.
25 basis points. The no at 92 cents is worth a dollar after the meeting.
So if you believe for whatever reason that they are not going to cut, you can make a walloping amount of money with a couple bucks.
Eight cents buys you a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's the case.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that this market was about 43% no, say 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Before maybe 12 days ago, before the New York Fed chief started talking about, I can see there being rationale to cut interest rates. And then we've had a couple of weak data points. I think the PMI or the ISM and
the unemployment rate was unbelievable.
The ADP report showed a loss of jobs, right, yesterday.
Yep. And then you have the other problem with this whole thing is that the actual jobs report is delayed until the 11th, the day after, or 2 days after, 12th maybe, the day after the actual decision. It's a very interesting situation. Who is this for, besides everybody? Who is this? Give me some scenarios that you believe this particular circumstance, and then we can, of course, looking at that, because you could actually break this down. There's other things like, okay, another one, Fed decision, you know, it's going to be unchanged. Any FOMC member dissent? Will there be any dissent? Number of FOMC members dissenting? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to predict this. Now, the question I ask you is, let's take a scenario. Build me a scenario for someone, aside from the fact that they just want to earn money and potentially on their belief. Who else can these be used for?
Well, I'd answer that question by if you think on Fed Day, you get all these talking heads on the television saying what they think the likelihood of something, an event happening is, but they can't really, with any certainty, predict the impact of that outcome. So, we think the Fed might cut rates on Wednesday, but if there's a number of dissenters, or the market reacts badly, then you might want to look at that FOMC member's dissent contract, or you might want to look at the 15-year mortgage rate or the 30-year mortgage rate or any other treasury note. Because you can predict accurately the outcome, and which the market currently says is going to happen with a 92% certainty. So maybe there's no value me making a wager on that. But if I think that I'm trying to understand what the stock market might do as a result afterwards, and I don't want to take a short position, I might take a yes on the number of dissenting members, because if that happened, you might see the stock market react in a particular way.
Right. And so there's outright prediction, speculation. There's outright ability to hedge positioning. So this could work in a number of ways. Are there limitations on contracts, and how much volume are on these things?
We measure that in terms of I think we got to about a million contracts a day, and that may have quietened down a little bit, but certainly over the recent election period at the start of November, we were seeing a lot of interest in the In those election contracts. And what's the other thing that we're seeing a lot of interest in? Certainly, as you mentioned at the outset, Andrew, the Fed decision is a big one.
Yeah.
We're also seeing a lot of interest in temperature or the high temperature in Los Angeles, San Francisco, as well. And now you can kind of extend that analysis into, I think, you know, we all know what happened in January in Los Angeles with the wildfires spreading. I think there's some areas of the country where you can't even insure yourself anymore. And so you can potentially use these contracts to look at a way of insuring. You know, if you think that the temperature is going to get hotter and it's going to cause an event such as a fire, but you can't insure against that, and it might impact an element of your portfolio, then you could certainly take the yes on the high temperature. Will the temperature exceed 78 degrees or 84 degrees or whatever it is, and you could get paid out. So it's equivalent to having an insurance contract on the weather in a place that may even be lacking insurance.
So is it also possibly good for things like farmers instead of using futures contracts?
Again, similar situation there. Yeah, they could certainly look at that type of scenario where there's a lack of insurance.
Interesting.
I mean, I think it'd be difficult to get farmers to kind of look away from traditional futures markets. If you're a corn or a soybean or a wheat farmer, and you wanted to, protect a set of floor under your price, you'd probably be better off using a futures contract. But certainly, I can see, climate-related events as not getting out of control, but certainly having a related undue impact on their farming activity, and they could certainly use them too, I would suggest.
Interesting. All right, let's move on to some other things. I want to talk about some of the new things that you have, because you mentioned some smart educational tools. But let's branch over to what everybody wants to know about, because I'm sure you're refining this from the last time we talked, and that's some of the AI-driven and AI-powered tools that you have. There's a lot of really interesting things that can give you insights into your current portfolio, but you've gone a little bit further than that, right?
Yeah. So I think the categories which you can query now, if you have a portfolio of, stocks, options, and ETFs, bonds, within the portfolio metrics, you can compare performance against benchmarks and identify valuation changes over time so that you can see periods of under or over performance. You can analyze the sector exposure. You can do some allocation analysis, and you can compare the returns across asset classes and assess by performance by industry type, instrument type.
Mm-hmm.
Holdings expirations, you can identify the top positions you can have. Sometimes that's a little difficult if you're holding multiple ETFs and they tend to, Venn diagram, they cross over one another. You can identify those top positions, look at the geographic allocation, and find out which securities pay the highest or lowest dividends. And you can track your activity. You can review trade history, monitor interest and fees that you're paying, and you can analyze cash inflows and outflows.
Now, you're not thinking about putting me out of business, are you?
No, not trying. We try and provide as much as we can for free.
No, a lot of those things are obviously very beneficial, not only to the client, but to advisors as well, if there is an advisor on the account.
Yes.
There's a lot of really good things on there. Where are you going? What's lurking in the back there that you're working on?
What have we got working in the background? Well, we're going to expand in the education offering. We're going to expand our insight on crypto-related market commentary, podcasts, webinars, and video material.
That's cool.
We're always pushing the generative AI applications, including intelligent question completion. So in your drop-down menus, you can allow clients to select parameters such as benchmarks, timeframes, and accounts. So there's a lot going on AI-wise for us.
Cool. I wanted to mention a couple other things. I know you have a new Visa card. You have a whole cash management program that's going on there. So there's no foreign transaction fees, which is kind of interesting because that is something that can be really beneficial when you're traveling. Underrated, by the way, by a lot of people, not thinking about that. But that's an important thing. You're out there doing your thing and you want to grab some cash from an account and you get a good currency conversion, hopefully, and not no fees.
Right.
Or limited fees. I want to talk about the RIA, the Registered Investment Advisor client survey results, because you put this out, you do this these surveys, if you will, by professionals, and you came up with they came up with more than 51% of the financial advisors are bullish on U.S. markets. Is that a big difference than you've seen? It's usually about 50-50, isn't it?
So more than half are now bullish. And I think that 59% have changed their views since June. 29% have become more bullish, and about 30% turned more bearish. Mm-hmm. And I think what's kind of, if you dig into the weeds there, there is growing optimism, but there, as ever, particularly with markets at highs now or towards all-time highs, the advisors seem to remain mindful of the potential risks of a market correction. That's the top concern, with clients more focused on the impact of volatility on their investments. One of the biggest surprises that, for advisors this year has been the unexpected rise in gold prices.
And how about silver, huh? Forget about gold.
Silver and platinum.
Silver's up 70%.
Yeah, they've all skyrocketed. I mean, these are the things people always talk about as you know, assets that you should have in your bottom drawer, just a little bit in your portfolio. And here it is. It's come back. I've never been a fan of that, but it's here it is.
Yep.
Hit me between the eyes.
Yep. Right.
This exactly. Year. Yeah.
Well, you know, once in a while, it's like, you know, the emerging markets discussion that every year for 10 years, I had people coming to me and talking to me about how this is the year for emerging markets. I'm like, okay, great. And every year it's like, oh, didn't work out. But they're there the next year pounding the table. Then you have all the gold bugs, silver bugs, and all the people there saying, you know, gold, 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 gold. I know people that finally gave up on gold about 2 years ago, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think some of that is probably wrapped up in the appetite for cryptocurrencies too.
Yep. They changed over, said that would be a better deal. Meanwhile, look at this year's results. Clearly favors the hard metals versus the cryptos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty amazing. So
it's a little difficult to understand, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I think they think that what are you going to do with gold? How do you transact it? They've been trained now by all the crypto bros. It says, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to take your piece of gold and you know, after the radiation fallout subsides, you're going to come up for air. And how are you going to trade? You know, what are you going to do? How are you going to use it? You know, you could always. Now, they don't talk about the fact there won't be any internet and stuff like that because everything's you know, been decimated. But the theory is that, you know, how to use that. Now, the other side is saying, well, it's always available. It's in my hand. I can hold it. I can touch it. I can feel it. I can move with it. So something there. I want to just go through this other part. The full update of the 2025 Interactive Brokers Advisor Insight Study also revealed that advisor more confidence in the markets, as you mentioned in the spring, 59% of the advisors have now changed their view on the market stand since June. 29% have become more bullish, 30% reporting turning more bearish. So kind of back and forth. But I agree the whole, I think everybody's waiting for advisors and, you know, you mentioned advisors waiting for correction and investors, you know, worry about volatility, which depending on your time frame, they're the same thing, right?
Yes.
A correction is just volatility in a long time frame.
Yeah.
A correction in a short time frame is disaster.
One of the most notable things about 2025, we look at what, in aggregate, customers are doing on a daily basis in which names, in stocks and options. So we look at calls, bought, puts, bought, calls, sold, puts, sold. And in aggregate, it's been astounding that on every pullback this year, investors have been net buyers. So even in April, when we had the massive sell-off due to the tariff announcement in the Rose Garden, investors continued to buy into stocks. I'm absolutely blown away by that insight. Yeah. And I think it's something that's been echoed by other brokers too. So there's nothing special about it.
It's people, they've been trained. to believe that sell-offs are buying opportunities in every case, because they have been. And you look at all of this, all we see are Vs. We see quick downs that are exacerbated due to the fact of heavy margin. I think I spoke to somebody, and maybe it was you. Somebody was talking. Oh, no, I think it was in your earnings release. And then I looked at a variety of other brokers. Margin, brokerage margin in accounts, it was an all-time high.
Always happens.
Yeah, and then what happens is the volatility is exacerbated in the selling.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the amount of options that we have playing right now also probably has a bit to do with it. But the zero-dated options, everybody's looking for a, you know, a Hail Mary. You know, they want a touchdown every, or home run, I should say, every time up at bat, every ball that's thrown, they want a home run. That's what they're, and they're not holding back.
Yeah. But I mean, going back to April, there was, you know, you mentioned that people have been trained to buy the dip, and I don't disagree with that, but in April, it did very much feel like this story could be different this time.
Right. I agree. 20% down, but it also it's a function of how fast it happens. I find, and this just makes sense if you think of it intuitively, a very sharp drop down is met with almost an equal and opposite reaction on the, you know, up. It may take a little bit of time, but generally it will move back up. And as it moves back up, you have the shorts covering very quickly. And as opposed to a long, drawn out, just, you know, corrective market, bear market, doesn't have to be 20% down in a day. It could be down 0.5%, flat, up a quarter, down 0.75%, but stair-stepping down. That is met with a much different, you know, and you do that over a 6-8 month, 10-month period, it's met with a much different and I think a little bit more concerning eye from the investor and from professionals.
Yeah.
So you got that there. Well, we're going to end there. Andrew Wilkinson, I want to thank you. Have a happy holiday. Have a happy season. I wish you a wonderful end of year, and we'll pick it up again next year. I want to hear all the good things that are going on.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for having me on the program, Andrew. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks so much. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
And that's a wrap of this episode of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Thanks for joining me. You know, a lot of things happening as we get through the holiday season towards the end of the year. And we saw things like at the end of the week, last week, the PCE number come in that was, by some measures, a little bit hotter than expected at 3% and 2% or 3.3%, which would equate to 3.6% over the next year. And then also, don't forget, we saw that there was a core of 0.2, better than expectations, but still in all, a higher level of inflation that has been very sticky, that looks like it could start moving higher. And what we get from there is what? Well, that horrible word that we all don't want to see printed on any particular economic forecast, and that is stagflation. Maybe something that happens very infrequently, talked about frequently, actually occurs very infrequently, but something to be aware of. I want to thank you for joining me. Make sure to go over to Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even YouTube, which we don't have a big audience on YouTube, but we'll grow that in the future. But nonetheless, make sure to tell your friends, your family during this holiday season. Give them the gift of the Disciplined Investor. By the way, we have books that are available. We'll give some away next year. But also the audiobook is available, of course, on Audible on Amazon. And I think you'll really enjoy that. The Disciplined Investor Essential Strategies for Success. Thanks again for joining me. I'll see you again real soon. This podcast is intended for informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized investment advice. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal, and past performance is not indicative of future results. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and any guests and may not necessarily reflect those of Horowitz & Company, Inc., an investment advisor registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of training or skill. Advisory services are only offered to a client or prospective clients where Horowitz & Company is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Any mention of third-party companies, products, or services is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement. Hypothetical scenarios or forward-looking statements are for illustrative purposes and should not be viewed as guarantees. Content is intended for U.S. residents only and may not be applicable in other jurisdictions. Listeners should consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Please visit our website for additional information, disclosures, as well as a copy of our Form CRS. Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz Company.